A team from Northgate recently returned from a missions trip to Hungary. This weekend, the 7-member team will be sharing what God did in them and through them as they ministered to a group of children at an orphanage in Jor, Hungary. And now, here's today's message.
Well, today we wanted to take a few minutes and report on the missions trip to Hungary. This is what we call a send weekend. Send weekends, like this changes everything, the baptism weekends that we have. We try to kind of give them their own flavor. And send weekends are about being sent into the community or into the world to share the love of Jesus Christ. And that's what we did as a church when we sent the team to Hungary back on July 1st. And so we want to talk about that. But before we do, let me tell you that Tom and Kathy Rapp, they were sent, and they are currently in Prague in the Czech Republic. They're serving meals to a couple hundred people at a Word of Life camp. And last word I heard was that things are going pretty well with them, but you can keep them in prayer. They'll be there another week. And then last year, you may recall that we took up an offering that we gave to the Clear Blue Water Project, which is a foundation that one of our churches in Ohio began. Their mission is to dig wells in places of the world where people do not have access to good drinking water, fresh drinking water. So we took up an offering and sent it to Ohio, to Clear Blue Water. They took our money and pooled it with other resources they had, and they sent it to Sikkhpur, India. And this is the result. You see the pipe that's going to be used to construct that well and the construction of it taking place. This is a group of people. My understanding is that these are local people who will come to this well to get fresh drinking water. Not all of them Christians, but they will have an opportunity to hear the gospel, and they will know that this well was dug by people who love Jesus Christ and wanted to share that love with them. So that's part of our work. There you go. There's the fruit of our labor and our giving is that fresh water coming from that well. So thank you, church, for participating in things like that. We can feel good about being part of God's work in the world. I'm going to invite the team to come on up and join me now. This is our Hungary team, and we're going to share with you some things that each of us experienced as a result of our trip to Hungary. Hungary, just to kind of give you a little introduction, it's a country about 10 million people in Eastern Europe. They are a country that in 1600 was 90% Protestant, but after World War II, they were under communist rule, and they were under communist rule until 1991. And we heard some reports while we were there from a couple of the women who grew up under communism, and what they told us is that the communist government did not forbid them from attending church. But they made it known that if you did attend church, you probably would not get promoted at your work. You probably would not get raises and that kind of thing. You would be, you could be questioned and persecuted for attending church. And there were spies within the church, as there were at workplaces and everywhere else, reporting on people, who was at church and that kind of thing. So that's the environment they grew up in. Church wasn't forbidden, but it was certainly squashed. And made difficult. So consequently, now they've been a free country for about 25 years or so, but there's still a lot of that leftover angst about church, and there's a lack of passion for Christ in Hungary. So while they're about 24% Protestant now, the report is that they're only about 3% evangelical, which means only about 3% of the Christian population in Hungary really has a living, vibrant faith in Jesus Christ. So part of our mission in going over was to represent people and represent you as people who do trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord and believe in Him and believe we can walk daily with Him and to share that faith with especially the children in the orphanage where we served, but also with the staff at that orphanage and others that we came into contact with. So we're going to share some of our stories now, and you got the mic. But before we go to Julie's going to present first here, but before we do that, Kelly and Ava Flores. Oh, I forgot to introduce. Many of you know Rosalina Van Agus. Rosalina has a ministry to the federal immigration prison here in town, and also to the migrant population, and has been on a number of mission trips. and she joined us in Hungary. Helen Morelli is a school psychologist in the inner city of Rochester, in the Rochester City School District. And great to have Helen along and her expertise on kids. Julie Worthington is a physician's assistant at Rochester General Hospital. If you damage your knee or break your knee, right, she's really good at fixing that and a number of other things as well. Great to have a medical person on board a missions team. I always feel better when that's the case. And Jay Kausnick is going to be a senior at Oakfield, Alabama High School this year. And then in addition to this team, we had Kelly and Ava Flores, Kelly and her daughter Ava, and they couldn't be with us today, so we've got them by video. So here's Kelly's report.
So our first full day, we got there. There was a church service in Budapest, and Pastor Vern was preaching at it. And they started off with the praise music, and it was just so different. And this tambourine's going in the back, and they're singing Glory Hallelujah. And I guess, so into it. And I just felt like, oh my gosh, we're really here. After all this time, we're here in Budapest, and we're getting ready to do this. Like, we're going to start this VBS tomorrow. And it got me so pumped up, you know, hearing this praise music going. And it was just really cool. Well, this was my first mission trip. And right from the beginning, I had an idea in my head of what this was going to look like. And, you know, I went over thinking that we were going to go to this desolate place where I was going to be needed. And I would walk into this orphanage, and these kids would just kind of cling to me and just need me. And that is about the furthest thing that happened on my mission trip. So these kids are little individuals, and they have these personalities. And I guess maybe I wasn't anticipating that. I just thought they were, you know, going to be these clingy little needy kids, and they're so far from that. They're talented, and they're little artists, and they're singers, and they're these fierce foosball players. They have this table, and they're just super smart. These kids didn't need me to swoop in and be some Monday through Friday VBS person. They didn't need me to do a craft or teach them a Bible story. They just needed me to just sit and just be present and try to form, you know, through our own broken language, some kind of communication where I could just listen to them and listen to who they are as people. So it was very humbling for me. I wasn't going to fix anything in a week, but I could show them love and I could plant little seeds of hope. So that was one. Now, you know, part two of my journey there was really putting my trust in God. And I feel selfish because I think that my biggest takeaway from this trip is my own personal growth. I've talked about having panic attacks before, and in the past, you know, I pray and I hope that God's going to help me get through it. And I have this toolbox of things that I use, but I never really expect that he's going to take care of it. And that's exactly what happened this time. I really started praying prior to the trip that he was going to set everything in motion that was going to let me do his task over there, and that he would just fight this fight for me. And he really did. I mean, leading up to the trip, I didn't have even a little flicker of anxiety leading up to it. And during the trip, lo and behold, the morning I get back, I do, but that's okay. You know, he got me through the part that I needed to get through. And just knowing that he really has my back, and he was fighting that fight for me the whole time, he had this plan, it gives me a huge sense of peace. And it really solidifies that part that I can put my trust in him, and he will be faithful. So I think that's my biggest takeaway from this trip.
Well, as each person talks, you're going to see some pictures behind us on the screens. They're not necessarily connected to what the individual is saying at the moment, but you'll get a flavor of what the trip was like from the pictures.
So like Pastor Vern said, my name's Julie. I've been coming to Northgate off and on for almost 2 years. And I got to say, when I first started coming here, I was really struggling with like where I fit in here, and I didn't really get to know people well. And the missionary from Hungary, Jerry McNamara, had come to church, and at that point I was kind of thinking, do I need to keep coming to this church? I don't know. And he came up and did his sermon, and then he said, I want to meet with anybody who's interested in going on a missions trip after the service. And, you know, God spoke to me right in that moment. He knows I love to travel. I love foreign people and food and all of that sort of stuff. So I was like, yeah, I want to go on this missions trip. Even if I don't go to the church, I want to go on this missions trip. And then my second thought to that was, you know, I'll get to know a lot of people on this trip. That'll be great. There's going to be so many people that go. And then when we finally set up the group, there was 7 of us. And I was like, okay, that's not a lot of people, God. That was, I was expecting to know a lot more. So as we went on planning the trip, you know, I like to view myself as a type B personality and say that I'm really calm, but I'm not. I am definitely more of a type A personality. And, you know, the meetings were really lax, and like we didn't really have a definite plan on things, and I was getting a little more anxious as the trip was getting closer, and I was starting to be like, what are we doing? And it seemed like everyone had their little job for the trip. We had, like, Helen was going to be the crafty person, and Rosalina was like, I can braid hair. I've never been able to braid hair. I always, like, have to hunt someone down for that. You know, Pastor Vern is Pastor Vern. He's going to do all the sermons is what I thought, And then Jake is an awesome musician, so he was taking, you know, he's like, yeah, you know, I'll do all the praise music for this. And I was like, okay, I'm a physician assistant, which should be good, but how does that help here? You know, like, unless someone falls in and get hurt, I'm really not needed on this trip. So I used to be an athlete, but I haven't really done much working out recently, so I was going through all of that in my mind. So we finally, you know, I was kind of feeling like a little discouraged by the trip. And when we were in Hungary, one of the people we got to know very well, Ildiko was her name, she was telling us a quote from a Hungarian quote is, an optimist is just a pessimist who's poorly informed. And I was feeling like that pessimist, so I was feeling very Hungarian going into this trip. And when we got there, it was just amazing how God was like, quit being a grump and watch what I'm going to do. So these things that I was so nervous about, we hadn't practiced skits, we hadn't all that, they just fell into place, and the Vacation Bible School went so smoothly. The missionary, Jerry, and his wife, Kati, had been, how many years, the past couple of years, right, working to get into this children's home that's government-run. So they're not big fans on having religious groups, you know, same thing with our country. We're not big fans with government and religion. So the fact that they were able to get us in there was really a big deal. And we could have really screwed that up for them, you know, if we stomped around and, hey, we're Americans and we're great, you know. We could have really screwed that up, but, you know, God had his hand over that missions trip, and he really just stopped that, and everything went incredibly smooth, even with translation. And Pastor Vern, Jake, and I, we kind of did, like, the praise and worship portion of it, and then Helen and Rosalina and Ava and Kelly kind of jumped between both, but they all did like crafts and games and all of that sort of with the kids, and it just went so smoothly that even the workers there were like, wow, this just went really well, enough so that they were willing to invite us back for that. So to me, it just really opened my eyes. Wow, look what God can do. You know, if I went in being like, I'm not meeting a lot of people, yeah, that one's great. But it really just wowed me with what he could do for that.
Hey, I'm Jake. I did the music for the missions trip in Hungary, and much to my surprise, nothing went wrong. I remember feeling a lot of anxiety leading up to the trip because the day seemed so distant, and I never expected it to actually get here. And when it finally did, despite the months of preparation I did on my music, I felt completely ill-prepared. And that really manifested itself on the first walk on the way to our orphanage. And because I was looking around and I was looking at all these amazing people that were accompanying me on this trip. I mean, Helen's a psychologist who works in the Rochester school system. Vern is an amazing preacher who has gone on tons of these trips. Rosalina works at prisons, bringing the gospel there. And like they said, Julie is a physician's assistant. I just got out of my junior year of high school, so clearly I was the most qualified person there, and I was just wondering, what can I give to these kids that are not already there with the people around me. And I remember I was feeling so nervous. I was sweating. I mean, it was a hot day, but I don't think it had anything to do with that. I was just terrified coming into this orphanage, and I was looking for a little reassurance. So I said, "Helen, are you nervous?" So I was like looking for a little relation there. I was like, "Are you nervous? Are you scared at all?" And she went, "Nope, not at all. I think I'll be fine." So thanks for that comfort, Helen. But I was really surprised of how much these kids grew on us and really how much we connected over the week. Specifically in this one girl that we met there, her name was Mariazzo. She was around 16 or 17, and she seemed really reserved and really kind of distant for the first couple of days. But until Julie and Vern really started kind of connecting with the kids with the skits and the lessons, they got really into it, and they really kind of opened up. And around the third day, Mariazzo asked if she could sing for us, and we were like, of course. It kind of blew us away that she came out and offered to do that, and she started singing this Hungarian pop song and immediately blew my talent right out of the water. I mean, I was there for music, and I was like, oh, great, now somebody's better, so why am I here? And seriously, if she came to Northgate, Anthony would be out of a job because she was, her pitch was perfect. She was amazing. And that connection grew over the week. And by the end, there were two floors. There were a temporary floor, which we were at, which to my surprise were a bunch of older kids. They were ages about 12 to 18 where they have to age out. And I was expecting them to be a lot younger. And at the end of the week, the two floors were able to mix for lunch as the staff members invited us down, which had never happened before. These two floors were just not allowed to mix, and we got to see the first time that these kids were ever able to interact with each other. And it was going great. The food was amazing. We were having great conversation with the kids, and then they asked me to join a bunch of the kids for a game of soccer, and I was like, no, I'm not even good at the sports that are popular here, so playing soccer with a bunch of European kids is not going to go down well. And so I was like, eh. So they put me on goalie, and some of you are ahead of me. The game ended up being 0-6. I'm sure you know which team I was on. And even by the end of the game, like whatever shots I did manage to block, which was not a lot, like even the kids that were 7 and 8 were going like, yeah, good job, Jake. You're getting better. But so I was embarrassing myself there. But you really, I took a lot of time to think about how lucky we are to live in a place like this where we have an opportunity to explore our talents, whether it be in sports or music, and how blessed we are in order to have an outlet to display that and show that to the rest of the people that a lot of these kids will never be able to have. And that's the great thing about this mission trip, is we'll create a foundation that hopefully we'll build on and that will give them a basis to explore what they want to make out of their life. I had a great time, and it was a fantastic experience, and I hope to go back soon.
Thanks, Jake. Jake is being very humble. His ability to sing and to play the guitar really connected with the kids and made it possible for the rest of us older people to get connected with the kids as well. The kids legitimately really thought he was a rock star. Okay, he's an American rock star. So, and Julie, could you tell us what your shirt, in the first service you told us about the shirt.
So when we were trying to come up with an idea for the Vacation Bible School, we talked about talking about like the superheroes of the Bible, like the main stories that you see at most of our Vacation Bible Schools. So the first part of this says, Ishten Girmeki Vajok, which is, I am a child of God. And the bottom part, I didn't practice, but it says, what's your superpower in Hungarian? So we, all of our skits, we kind of did based around, like we did Moses and we did Joseph and I can't remember it. A lot with Jesus. We did a lot with that. But one of the skits in particular that I just found funny, I don't know if you guys did or not, but we did Moses and we had the kids act it out. We had a little clapboard. I finally figured out what that word was. That the kids would call action or they would say, chapel when they would do it. And we had one of the girls pretending to be Pharaoh and one of the boys pretending to be Moses. And we would tell the translator, okay, tell Moses to say, Pharaoh, let my people go. And then Pharaoh would say his part. Well, we learned very few Hungarian words, but we learned yes and no, which was igen and nem. So this one little girl was, you know, holding her Pharaoh pose with her arms out in front of her, and Moses would say, let my people go, and she'd just say, nem. It was really, really funny. So
well, that's cute.
It was good.
Thank you, Julie.
Good morning. Jöreget. That's Jöreget. Good morning in Hungarian. I think I learned that at the airport on the way home, finally. Hungarian is a language that you just can't learn. Anyway, it's very hard to explain what we saw, what we went through in like 4 or 5 minutes. I did write an article entitled Miracles in Hungary, and it's at the desk out front. If you'd like to read it, I encourage you to read it. On a daily basis, we really felt a lot of spiritual warfare. Justin, you know, we kind of knew we were like the recognizance group. You know, we like can't mess this up. This is the first time that people are going to this orphanage. We felt a lot of anxiety, a lot of pressure. There was unbelievable heat. You saw a lot of pictures of people sweating, the actual bookmark sweats on their backs. I didn't see that in the first service. There also was a lot of fatigue, and there was little things that went wrong every day that really potentially could have been big things, but they weren't. And it's, you know, we felt the spiritual warfare, but we also felt, you know, God's mighty hand around us. We really, and we felt your prayers. We also saw the Holy Spirit show up in a really, really big way every single day. I think as some people had said when we first got there, the staff wasn't, you know, too happy to see us. I think they were a little cool to us. They probably thought, oh, what are these Americans going to come here and do? And very quickly, the kids, they saw a change in the kids. You know, the kids, they told us every day there's going to be fights and, you know, don't intervene, let the staff break up the fights. You just kind of kick back. And the kids didn't fight. The kids didn't have any verbal fights, no physical fights. They didn't swear at us. And I always wondered if the interpreters were actually going to interpret that. But they really engaged, and the staff saw it almost immediately, and none of the kids there knew how to pray. And, you know, on the very last day, as Jake was kind of talking about, they wanted to do something nice for us because they were just so appreciative of us coming, and they really saw a change in the kids. So the two floors, foster care and orphanage, don't interact with each other. The foster care kids are very transient, and they really don't want those kids influencing the permanent residents, which are the orphanage kids. And the directors decided to throw a picnic for us and to open up the doors, and the kids, for the first time, met, played together. I don't want to get emotional. We all prayed together for the first time, and it was really, really such a blessing. I could go on and on and on with stories, but Vern has a bell there, and he did tell us in first service he was going to ring it if I kept going on and on. So I did write an article, but the last thing I think I just want to say is, here's the takeaway. You know, our God is sovereign, and he's in control, and he is all-powerful. And really, honestly, he doesn't need any of us. But here's the takeaway. If you humble yourself and you open up your heart, he will bless you by letting his Holy Spirit shine through you. And that is the blessing of the mission trip. It's not meeting a ton of new friends. It's not recognition of any single person. It's really give God the glory, because we really saw the Holy Spirit shine through in a very, very big way.
Yeah, Helen wrote up her account, and there are copies of it at the information desk you can pick up. It really is nicely done. Thank you, Helen.
So you see, it was an amazing team. And with my experiences 40 years ago, when God changed my heart and cleaned all my sins and promised me eternal life, I was studying Isaiah 6. And then I, not knowing what I was going to, I say, okay, Lord, send me. I'm here, send me. And he started sending me. And I started doing mission trips in the little village without electricity. And that was amazing. And then here, I am with my 23 mission trips. And that was a blessing. And we really appreciate you, church, that you pay for a trip. You pray for us. That was amazing, those letters that we have that you wrote for us. And every day was a blessing. So sending all the supplies that you did and the quilts that people did for the kids, this was an amazing experience. So you love and everything that you do for us, that was amazing. So we are just glorifying God. It was good, and we plant the seed. I have the experience, the privilege that I had to do it here, like you see the pictures. That was beautiful. Most of the kids, they never had mom doing the hair. And they were so happy. One of the girls came the few days before we finished, and she was so depressed, really rude, completely out of the place. And I asked her if she wanted me to do her hair, and she said no. And I was doing somebody else's hair. And at the end of the day, she said, I want you to do my hair. And I said, well, we have to go, but I can do it tomorrow morning. So the next day, early in the morning, she was clean, she was happy, she was ready for me to do her hair. And that was like I was giving gold to her. She was so happy after I finished braiding her hair. She was walking so with so much pride, showing everybody. And it was so something so simple. You see the guys that I did hair, they had the long hair in the front. And then he said, can you do my hair? I never did a guy hair like that. And he said, can you sparkle my hair? I said, yeah, you have a gel, I can do it. And I do have gel. So he gave me his gel, and I did his sparkles with his hair, and he was so happy. So the other boy came, and he said, can you do my hair? I said, well, I don't have a gel. If Steve let us use his gel, I can do it. And then Steve, can I use his hair? And he was at the other end of the table, and he said yes, and he threw me the gel. So here I am, I throw him a kiss. Thank you for giving you gel. He grabbed the kiss in the air and put it in his shirt, and I started rocking back and forth the kiss that I gave it to her. And then the translator said he never have a kiss from mom. So you know those little things that you can do. So what do you have in your hands that God can use? Just think about it. If God been saving you, giving you eternal life, giving you peace, use something that you have in your hands for the glory of God. God bless.
You know, you always ask, and I know members of the team, we've met a few times since we got back, and one of the questions is, what did we really accomplish? You know, did we really do any good? And I think hearing these stories, you hear that actually a lot was accomplished. Some of it was what was accomplished just in team members, just in what happened in individuals. Some of it was accomplished as a group, because some of us didn't know each other very well before we started preparing for this a year ago, and that was huge. Some of it is, I believe, the seeds that were planted in the kids. If we only planted seeds of hope, letting them know that because of Jesus' love for us, we wanted to come across the ocean, across a continent to visit them and to serve them for a week. My prayer is that God uses that, those seeds of hope, to do good things in their life. But I hope that we do more. Julie mentioned, we've been invited to come back to that orphanage next year, and we can stay in contact with these kids throughout the year. And I think about Timmy, who was, about 9 years old. Timmy, a little girl, cute little girl, had been in the orphanage, I think, almost shortly after her birth. She was placed in that orphanage. And Jerry told us she'll be here until she's 18, and then she'll be discharged, and she'll be sent off to take care of herself in this world. Well, I think about Timmy, and I think about her smile, and I think about how she kind of lit up, and she really kind of enjoyed, I think, being with us. I wonder what kind of impact Northgate Church could have on Timmy if we went back year after year, stayed in contact with her throughout the year, and just let her know there's some people in the United States who love you and care about you and are praying for you and are holding you up before God and who believe that God has you here for a purpose and that God can do some wonderful things in your life. I wonder what kind of impact we could have on Timmy and the rest of the kids in that orphanage. Now, to do that, it means that we have to have somebody who's willing to lead the way. And one of my prayers throughout this whole experience has been that somebody from Northgate would step up and become a missions team leader. And so I was kind of observing things on the trip, and it was becoming really clear to me that someone I had identified as a potential leader had the gifts for that. And I'm pleased to say that Julie Worthington has agreed to be our Northgate missions team leader. And I think that deserves your applause. Because her role is going to be to keep missions before us as a church and also to take us forward in the work that we do as a church. And you wanted to say something about that.
Yeah. I agreed to take on this missions thing, which is a little daunting to me. So I kind of want to put it before the church, too. Like, I don't want this to be just me for multiple reasons. I kind of envision this, I think, in Pastor Vern as well, as we got together and talked about this, as becoming a committee, a small committee of maybe like 4 to 6 people that just are really passionate about missions. Me, myself, I'm really passionate about international missions. I mean, any mission trip is awesome to me, but that's just seems to be where I focus in a little bit more. I'm looking for somebody who just feels really passionate about domestic missions, stuff that just in the United States or just in Western New York, something like that, that, you know, they just really want to do stuff locally, kind of giving back to our own country. So if there's somebody that just really has that laid on their heart, that they know that that's where their passions lies, I would love to talk to you after church out in the cafe. Other people that I'm looking for, I would love someone who's just really organized, because I'm not. So if you just love to make charts and put labels on things, I think you're sick, but I'll take you on the team. So I joke. Honestly, I think that's awesome if you can do it. I'm just not talented with that. And then the other portion of the team I see is just really strong prayer warriors. So if you're someone who just, anytime you hear about mission trips, it's just really laid on your heart that you just, you know, you just pray for those individuals the whole time that they're there, and you're praying for the trip as it's leading up. If you're just really strong and passionate about that, I would love to have you come talk to me afterwards to see about joining the team. It's something that we would plan on doing like a monthly meeting to get together and talk about different mission opportunities locally and overseas, as well as just different like community projects and whatnot we could do. And then as Pastor Vern was saying, we have been invited to come back to Hungary. I've been talking to the missionary over there, and it's looking like for summer 2017, we'll be planning to do yet another trip going to work with the children's home. He's envisioning a smaller group of, you know, probably 8 to 10 people somewhere in there, and then the potential of adding on a few more, maybe making it up to 15, but splitting the group up and having half of them work with the kids and half of them stay in Budapest and do, like, construction projects and stuff like that. So if you're super handy, you can come talk to me afterwards. Also, I'll be out in the cafe.
Great. Thank you, Julie. There's one more person that we want you to hear from who was on the trip, and that's Kelly's daughter, Ava. So she's also here by video.
Leading up to the trip, I was really nervous to go on the plane because I really hate plane rides. They just make me sick, and I don't know. I just really don't like planes. And I did perfectly fine on the plane, and I fell asleep a couple of times. And I know all of the other team members are like, I couldn't get any sleep. I'm like, well, I did, suckers. So I think, I don't know, God just blessed me. And all the praying really helped before the trip, because I was really nervous to get on that plane. I think we just take so much for granted. And when we went to the orphanage, the kids were just so appreciative of everything. Their eyes just like lit up at every single little thing. Like we brought... Rosalina was doing hair for all the kids, and they were like getting in line just waiting to have their hair done. And they were so appreciative and so happy to get their hair done. Yes, it was very hot and it was very exhausting and physically demanding, but I think we're just so blessed that God gave us the physical strength to be able to go on this mission trip, and I think we should just use it wisely and take every opportunity we get, because He blessed us, we should use it. I think it was cool that we were the first VBS team to go there, and that the directors actually invited us back and I would definitely go again. I think it was really, it was just a really cool experience, and I think you should just take every opportunity you get if you do have the physical strength, and God bless you.
Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I believe God for that. I believe that whatever good we do in this world, if we do it for the love of Jesus Christ and we just hold it out there, we give it over, that at the right time, God is going to bring fruit out of that. He's going to bring the harvest. So let us, as a church, continue to do that good. And thank you for your prayer support, your financial support, your words of encouragement, the giving of the supplies, all of that. It really made this missions experience very rewarding for all of us and for the kids in Jur. So thank you to that. Would you stand? We'll have the benediction and be dismissed. Our mission at Northgate is to bring people to Jesus Christ and to build them up in that relationship. And then the third part of that is to be sent into the world as ambassadors for Christ to do his good in our communities and around the world. That includes all of us, every single one of us here who are in Christ, are missionaries for Christ. So I pray that as you walk through this week, you'll keep that in mind, and may God reveal to you some ways that he's using you to make a difference in the world. Go in the love and the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on the Northgate Podcast. We hope this message has been a blessing to you as you walk and grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. For other great resources, explore our website at northgatefmc.com. And come back next week for another great message. Have a wonderful week.